Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today my guest is Eric Eilsko Jensen. Eric?
Hello.
Eric is a SQL Server MVP from Denmark. He's also, and the reason he's on the show, is he's the author of the SQL Server Compact Toolbox extension, which you can see here. It's been in the gallery for a while, and it has, as of the time we're standing here, 98,958 downloads. So we're going to see if we can get you over 100,000 and get more users.
That would be great.
A few months ago, Eric had been watching the show. He emailed me. He said, wouldn't it be cool to have the SQL Server Compact Toolbox on the show? And I said, well, yeah, it would be cool. So next time you're in town, you can come on the show. And it turns out that we're right here now in the middle of the MVP Summit. Eric's an MVP. He's here. And I'm happy to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks a lot for letting me on the show, Robert. And let's have a look.
Before a little shameless plug, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you famous for? You're from where in Denmark?
I'm from near Copenhagen in Denmark, north of Northern Europe, for those who are challenged. I am a SQL Server Compact MVP, as you already mentioned, Robert, and I help people on the MSDN forums with their SQL Server Compact issues. And I also provide a number of tools that are available on CodePlex to help developers using SQL Compact and make their life easier.
Okay.
And one of those tools is the SQL Server Compact Toolbox, Visual Studio Add-in.
Great. So why did you write this? What issues were you hoping to solve with it?
Well, Microsoft provides some tooling in Visual Studio for SQL Server Compact. All the tools that Microsoft provide are GUI-based, so if you have to create a new table, you have to fill in a form and press OK. Mm-hmm. And maybe some programmers prefer to do development where it's based on they create their own scripts, and so they have things better documented and under source control and things like that.
Sure.
And my Compact Toolbox provides the tooling for doing exactly things like that. That was the initial perspective of it anyway. Then people have started using it and say, well, this is great.
Wouldn't it be nice if it did this and this and this?
So
by tomorrow, right?
Yeah, sure, as well. So I've slowly added a number of features. What essentially is that anything you can do in the context of a compact database, people can come with bright suggestions for that, and I will consider implementing it. So it's developed over time, over a couple of years, and it started with just the scripting features.
I see. So, yes. All right, so give us a tour.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, Robert, it's very easy to install from the Visual Studio Gallery via Extension Manager within the Visual Studio. And I have found in developing this add-in that with the current infrastructure of the WSIX format, it's very very easy to make an add-in compared to previously versions of Visual Studio.
Right.
So what you need in order to create an add-in, of course, the Visual Studio SDK, which will give you the wizards to get you up and running very quickly with an add-in that exposes a window similar to Server Explorer, for example. And that's basically where I started.
Okay.
And, of course, found some other samples on the net to help me get started. I'm not a Visual Studio add-in developer per se, but there's enough information out there to get you started and find out how to hook in things and get up and running.
Great.
So I have the toolbox installed already, and once it's installed, you'll get an extra little icon in the Server Explorer to launch a toolbox. And in Server Explorer, I already have a connection to a SQL Server Compact database. And what the toolbox does, it will inherit all the connections that you have defined in Server Explorer and expose them in its own window. You can also add connections to compact databases directly within the Compact Toolbox. Alternatively, you can launch it from the Tools menu, and you can see it's available here from this menu item.
Okay.
So let's launch.
So I see you have the achievements loaded. How are you doing? What's your score?
I think I have only three just now. I haven't opened enough crazy solutions, but I have worked with solutions like with more than 50 projects, and that would definitely gain me an achievement. But so, a great add-in.
We did a show on the achievements, and at the time we did the show, I think I was tied for 9th place, and then 3 days later, I was tied for like 1,050th place.
Wow,
so. That's how popular they wound up being.
So let's run the toolbox, pin it here, and get rid of Server Explorer for now. Maybe just quickly show you, I mentioned earlier, what tooling Microsoft provides for SQL Server Compact. Let's go into the table schema designer. So you can see it's a big GUI. Some people are very pleased and comfortable with that. But if you were kind of a database-based developer, you would prefer to do some scripting and create table statements and stuff like that instead to have a little bit more insight in what's actually going on. And that's exactly what the toolbox is providing.
Some people feel you have more control. If you're writing the Transact SQL statements, you know exactly, you're getting exactly what you're typing, right?
Exactly, and also in terms of documenting what it is you have afterwards, it's you can also, of course, just keep the SDF file and open it in Visual Studio, but it's in terms of providing documentation.
And then script it as SQL, but this way you start with the documentation.
Yes, and of course, one way you can work with SQL Compact is that when you run on a machine, you don't really need to include a database. You can create everything in code.
Right.
So you would need these create table statements and create index statements to create the structure of your database. Yeah. And also add data, but my tools, of course, also allow you to add data to the database in script. We'll get there. I'm showing you now a sample database, which is called Chinook, which is a very nice sample database that you can download from CodePlex on chinookdatabase.codeplex.com. It's a model of a small music shop.
Okay.
Where you can buy tracks, and it has albums and artists and stuff like that. So it's a nice change from your venerable Northwind database.
It's also a very delicious salmon.
What?
Chinook salmon. It's a very delicious salmon.
Chinook. Okay, I didn't know that. I don't know why it's called Chinook, but so let's see what you can do. As in Server Explorer, I have a number of context menu items on each level in the structure, and of course you can explore all the objects. I have various icons that indicate what type of object the columns are, like a primary key, just a field, and a foreign key. I enumerate all the indexes and all the keys of the particular table. But let's see what we can do with a particular table here. Let's just take the album table here, and you can see there's several scripting options. You can script the create and drop statements. Let's try start with that, which will create all the objects in that particular album table, all the related objects like indexes and unique keys and foreign keys, etc. You can also script data manipulation statements like select, insert, update, and delete. So let's try to script select. And in this little, not exactly full-fledged query editor, but enough that you can actually execute the queries and push them into the database, we can execute the query and get some results back. In the query editor, you can also look at the query execution plan. If you want to find out why a query is running slow, maybe you're missing an index or something, that could be a typical reason for that. Then we can inspect the execution plan here to see if a table scan takes place. By clicking this execute button, we will execute plus plan. It will run the query, and then it will also create a graphical execution plan.
Okay.
Now we're doing a table scan because we're selecting all the rows, so that makes sense. But if you had a complicated query that was running slow, this would enable you to analyze why this is happening. You can also script all the data for a particular table, and it will just simply be scripted as a number of insert statements. so you can port the data, and again, you can embed this this generated text in in your app if you want some initial data in your app when the user starts using it.
It'd be good for testing when you want to pre-populate, or if you're pre-populating some of the lookup tables. And
if you're running unit tests and things like that, just push in some data quickly with this. I also have a number of command line tools that can execute these scripts for you in a like a, an automated build process or things like that. Finally, we can also import data from a CSV file. I won't demo that, but that's a possibility as well. So you can actually populate your initial structure from a CSV file with my tool. And there's also some basic table editing where you can just modify the data on the fly here.
Okay, great.
So that's basically what you can do on the table level. One final thing is that you can actually in SQL Server, you can add object descriptions. You can describe each object with that, like for documentation purposes, what does it this field actually represent? And I have added a similar feature for Compact, where you can describe on a table and column level what the purpose of them are, or whatever you want to need, whatever you need for your documentation.
Right.
So this will this window will just display all the columns in the table, and you can add descriptions to that. On the root level, I have some special options that allow you to connect to a SQL Server, and which means that you can actually take a point to a SQL Server database, script that in SQL Compact compatible file format, and then you can basically port a SQL Server database to SQL Server Compact.
With the data?
With data and schema, yes.
Oh, nice.
But of course, you, there's only so many objects. I don't know if you know SQL Compact well, but it only has one object type, and that is tables, and all the related constraints. So all the other object types, all the programmability you have in SQL Server, that is not available in SQL Server Compact. It's the raw data. And of course, that script will also only include the raw data from the server database. Mm-hmm. But some people may want to do that.
Sure.
So also, sorry, demo that. So you can script a server database schema in Compact format. And I've also added a little utility. There are now, I think, three or four file formats are in SQL Server Compact, which is a file-based database format. So sometimes you get a SQL Server Compact file and you have no idea of telling what version is that, because the extension is the same, or the extension can be anything.
And you don't know until you try to run the application.
You don't know until you try and open it, and then you get an error saying this is in a valid file format, depending on what version of the ADO.NET provider you're using. And this little tool will allow you to point to an SDF file, which is an extension by convention, and then it will tell you if it's a SQL Compact file at all, and if it can detect a version.
So could you then use this tool to convert it to the up-level or
down-level? You can also, if you go in here and add a point to a 4.0 connection, I have a little dialogue for that, and if I detect that it's a previous version, either 3.0 or 3.5, mm-hmm. I will offer to upgrade it to 4.0. Of course, start by making a backup file.
And can you go backwards? Can you go from 4 backwards to 3.5 or
3? You can that, but it's not easy. You have to basically script the whole file out to a text file, but that's easy with this add-in, of course. And then you will have to create an empty, let's say you have made a 4.0 file by mistake, you will have to script that out, make an empty 3.5 file, and then run the script. You can use a window here, you can use my command line utility to do that, to recreate it in 3.5. But certainly you can do that, yes.
Okay, that's pretty
It's cool. just a little bit of work. I've actually thought about creating a feature for that, but probably not many people would need it. So, yes. On the finally, on the database level, there's a number of amazing number of menu items, things you can do on database level. A couple of them are related to code generation. So you can generate an entity data model from the current database file mm-hmm. in any project type, or you can add a Windows Phone data context to the project. So it's like for Windows Phone development, you can take an existing database and create the required code to run that with a link to SQL data context on Windows Phone.
Oh, that's good.
So that's quite useful. And again, you can of course script everything that's in the database, like you can do on the server side. For this particular database, you can script schema, just schema and data. And I have even made a little feature where you have to tweak the script a little to make it run on SQL Azure. Mm-hmm. So because somebody wanted to port a SQL Compact file to SQL Azure, so I create a script that you can run against Azure directly from Compact.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually, if you've got a phone app that works with data, mm-hmm. And I've actually thought about this scenario, I want an app to manage some data on my phone.
Yes.
Right. So I've got it in SQL on my phone, and then I say, you know what? I need this same data in other places. Exactly. If I'm sitting at my desk or if my wife wants to be able to see this data.
Yeah.
So then what I would want to do is then take that data out of SQL Compact, move it up to SQL Azure, mm-hmm. so then I can write phone, Windows Phone going up against SQL Azure, iPhone going up against mm-hmm. SQL Azure, because my wife has my old iPhone.
Yes.
And maybe she's sitting at her desk, she wants a web application. So It's a scenario that you don't have to. It's not that big a stretch to wind up.
No,
in a
exactly.
Situation.
It's quite few steps, and with OData or the mm-hmm. WCF data services, you'll be able to quickly expose that data from SQL Azure to any type of device really that understands JSON or Atom.
Yep.
Atom XML. So sure.
So to be able to go from Compact up to Azure, it's a great thing to have.
Yes. I also have a small attempt to make a schema diff. So if you're working on the next version of your app and you add some columns or add some tables and some columns, this little feature will generate the script that you need to run on your desktop clients mm-hmm. in order to upgrade them from one version to the next.
Great.
So. Finally, let's show. I showed you how to create the documentation of the table, like the description on table and column level. And I also have a feature that allows you to use this documentation actively. So I will create an HTML documentation file from our database here, and you can see it's including all the tables in the database. And it includes our the metadata that we just entered here and other hopefully useful information about the database, including listing all the columns, so on. And this, I can generate either an HTML format that is kind of fixed, but I can also generate an XML file, and you can transform that XML file into whatever format suits you using XSL. So.
Yeah, sweet.
Finally, I can also use quite a powerful feature that comes from Visual Studio Ultimate called DGML, mm-hmm. which is a way of visualizing relationships between objects, really, in an XML-based format called DGML.
Right.
And Visual Studio Ultimate and Visual Studio Premium includes a visualizer for showing the DGML.
And then Visual Studio 11 Pro will have it too.
I've just been told that, and it's really, really good news for me. So that's really exciting. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that, and that will make this feature even more useful, because a lot of people had said, "Yes, what now? I only have Pro, and I have this nice XML file, but I can't really view it." So that's really good news.
So let's see. Can you show the graph?
Sure, we'll do that. It will create a graph, and it will actually also create a create table script for each table that you can navigate to, so you can explore the create table behind and just look at the objects as well. So let's look at this diagram here. This is the table that I use for storing the documentation data.
Okay.
So we can in this viewer is quite powerful because it will actually allow you to edit the content. I can just click on this table. I don't really want to include that in my graph, and I just press delete and it disappears from the window. So here we can actually see we have 11 tables in our little database here, and if we expand this, it will allow us to show, and then I have color-coded what each field type is, a little bit like in the Explorer.
So to do this, all you had to do was figure out the DGML format.
Actually, I just had to reverse engineer the DGML format.
Right.
There's a couple of blog posts out there which specifies how do you specify how objects relate to each other and so on. And
then you get to take advantage of the DGML viewer that's built into Visual Studio.
Exactly. It's pretty powerful. And you can save as XPS. And that will allow you to actually also print and distribute the DGML file, so people that don't have a DGML viewer can actually also, they can't view it, the file interactively, but at least they can see the result of the DGML file.
Right.
And I can actually, we can just have a quick look at just to see. It's not magic. It's just XML file. As you can see, and basically it's just had to reverse engineer and then come up with this hard-coded color scheme.
Yeah.
So that's
awesome.
It. Yeah.
Very cool. So, does the SQL Server Compact toolkit only work with SQL Server Compact? Can I do things like this with Express and SQL Server? I mean, it would seem that there's a lot of functionality in there that isn't necessarily in the Management Studio.
That's a very good question, Robert. I actually have this menu item here, Create Server, SQL Server Database Graph.
Okay.
So to some extent, yes. And actually some other people here at the summit has asked me about this, funny enough. The only thing that I may need to tweak now is if you're working with schemas, you can have in SQL Server, there's the concept of schemas, like a specification of who the table belongs to.
Right.
Originally, the default schema was DBO dot.
Right.
But now you can have more schemas, so you can kind of isolate a number of tables based on security and things like that. So you can have a sales schema and a production schema. Mm-hmm. And I don't respect, currently, the code doesn't really respect that. It considers everything to be in the same schema, but that's a small tweak. It's just another level of connectivity.
Right.
So, but should we just quickly see a server database?
Yeah.
I think I have AdventureWorks installed, so we can try that one. AdventureWorks. Let's call it AV. Same. And here we are.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So yes, it will work.
Awesome.
To some extent with SQL Server.
And the scripting, script as.
Yeah, but the scripting is the scripting is dumb in terms. I dumb all the scripts down to all the data types that are supported by SQL Server Compact, because if you want to generate a script from a server, I generate them from a SQL Server Compact perspective,
right,
so to speak, and I dumb them down. SQL Server Compact only supports Unicode string types, and it only has 18 data types in all, whereas you have probably, I don't know, 40, 50 types in a full SQL Server product.
Okay. Cool. Anything else you wanted to show?
That's it.
So go back to the browser, show it in
the gallery. Yeah.
So hope you enjoyed this. As you see, if you're working with SQL Server Compact, you have to go get this tool. And we saw a couple of things you can use even if you're not using Compact.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, if you're using SQL Server Compact and you are not among the 98,958 current users, you have to go get this. You have to use this. This is great stuff. Was it difficult to write?
No, it was surprisingly easy to write. I have a as I said before, I have a number of command line utilities, and underneath that I have the scripting API for getting all the data about what tables, what columns are in the database. And using that, it's quite easy to hook in to Visual Studio and just add your context menus and just run some code. And the code is really, I just call methods in my API, which is also a CodePlex project, but a different CodePlex project.
And it works in Visual Studio 11 as well, right?
Yes, you can see on the supports, it actually happens to work in Visual Studio as well. You just have to make a small tweak to the project to indicate to Visual Studio
Gallery. You had to do that? Or
I had to do that. I had to update what was already on the gallery. It's just a small XML addition and to indicate that I also support Visual Studio 11 beta.
Awesome. Yeah. So it works in 2010, works in 11. It's great. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
See you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.